We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the life of David this morning, the cave of Adullam. We have before us here an example of the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit to save each one of God's elect. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit to give you the context. David has been caught lying to the high priest. He came to the high priest alone. The high priest wondered why he was alone. And David basically said, I have been sent by the king, King Saul. I have been sent by the king on a secret mission. I can't tell anyone what it is. It's top secret. So that settled that. David again. I'm hungry. Can you give me and my men some bread to eat? High priest answers, I have no common bread, but just this holy bread. You can take that. David, I'll take it. Give it to me. Question. David, I had to leave quickly on this secret mission. I didn't even have time to brush my teeth or take any weapons to myself. Do you have any weapons to give me? High priest answers, only the sword of the giant Goliath whom you slew in the valley. David, there's none like it. Give it to me. Then the Holy Spirit sent David into the cave of Adullam. And there in that cave, the Holy Spirit brought David back to the Lord his God and saved his soul. But it wasn't easy. David wrote two psalms during his stay of many days in the cave of Adullam. And I'm going to read these two psalms to you, and I want you to listen very carefully to the words that David wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there are some psalms that have explanations in a title. Some people feel that these titles are inspired by the Holy Spirit. Other people don't. I'm one that does. So turn to Psalm 57. I'll read it. You can follow along if you'd like. Psalm 57 has a caption to it, to the chief musician, Eltasheth, or something, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Midim of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. This would be the cave of Adullam. And to David, it looked like the worst part of his life. It turned out to be one of the greatest blessings that he had. Psalm 57, spoken when David fled from Saul in the cave. Be merciful unto me, O God. What a change from what we just had. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. Well, what about the sword of Goliath? Not mentioned, and it shouldn't be. He's petitioning God. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire. Even the sons of men, whose teeth are like spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst of whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Wake up, my glory, wake up, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. What a change from rags to riches. Only the Holy Spirit could do something like this. And he did it when David is living in a cave. A cave. Psalm 142, the second psalm that David prayed and wrote when he was in the cave of Adullam. Mishal of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him before my trouble. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So, a remarkable turnabout here. And David returned to the Lord his God when he was hiding out in the cave of Adullam. the elect children of God are found in odd places sometimes. Joseph was found in prison. The children of Israel were slaves down in Egypt. Daniel found himself in lion's den. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish. And now David is hiding out for his life in the cave of Adullam. One man put it this way: had David prayed as much in his palace as he did in the cave, he might never have fallen into the act which brought misery upon him in his last days. But that's what it took. That's what it took. And there was a great deal of love on behalf of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when they caused David to flee for his life from Saul and hide out in the cave of Adullam. The verses we're looking at are from 1 Samuel 22, opening verses, and we have looked at what happened before when Doeg had a bunch of priests killed. We've looked at that already. But this one, now opening verses of 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, David. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Later, the number would be raised to 600. That's important. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab and said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the fold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, now this is after quite a bit of time, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. So then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. So now we're going to go back and look at a few of these details. We certainly see a type of the great anti-type, Jesus Christ, here. Like David, Jesus was born King of the Jews. The wise men knew that. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Jesus was hated by the VIPs of the church, just as the type was. David is being hunted down by the king of Israel, and the army of the king of Israel is in cahoots with King Saul. The poor, the lame, the blind, and lepers came to David. Same thing with Jesus. The ones came that knew they were sick and needed a physician, not only physically, but spiritually. And they came to Jesus, and he healed them. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what he said. Jesus gave his mother to John for safety. We'll get into that in a little while. So there were 400 men, and with their families, that gathered themselves to David. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 13, we have a verse that might very well apply to what we're looking at here. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. How tragic it must have been to the 400 men that came out to be with David, with their families, risking their lives. How tragic it must have been to see what was happening in the visible church of their own day. And how distressed some people are in our own day to see what's happening in the visible church. One man, as he was listening to a paper being given at a convention, told the one that was given the paper, which was full of false doctrine and false teaching, he told him, this stuff is not being served as hot as it's being cooked. And there were a lot of the people there that agreed with him, but hardly anybody said anything. So we look at the 400 men, and it increased to 600 men later on. And these men were mighty, mighty warriors. This was a gift of God to David. And there are places in Scripture that list who all these people were. We know their names, and someday, Professor, we'll get into this in a little more detail. But these guys were powerful warriors. One of them went down into a pit in the snowstorm and killed a lion with his bare hands. Another man with a spear stood, and while everybody else retreated, he fought and slew hundreds of the Philistines. These guys were mighty, mighty warriors, every one of them. There were three that were especially powerful men. So David was not alone by any stretch of the imagination. And there are different references in Scripture which we'll look at another day, God willing. In 1 and 2 Samuel mainly, and one in 1 Chronicles. So anyway, these warriors are celebrated for their extraordinary feats of bravery, and they were of great help to David. So what struck me odd, kind of, in the reading here is David taking his mother and father and providing for them because they couldn't live in the cave. They're too old, couldn't hack it. And so he provided for them by going into the king of Moab. And that was a type, and the anti-type is in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 25 and following. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, that's a moniker for the disciple John. Jesus loved all of them, but John was more aware of the love. But he saw John standing there, and he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, to the disciple, single person, John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. So, why do you feel Jesus felt that was necessary? Was it because Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a marked person? That if things were allowed to run their course, she herself would be murdered? Well, we look back, and David provides for his mother and father. He's the type, Jesus is the anti-type. And we read this. David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, you wonder how David could get in to talk to the king of Moab. That's odd. He said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. So his eyes are on God yet, and he's providing for his father and his mother in the land of Moab. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hole, or the cave. Why would David go into the king of Moab? That's the question. And there's a one-word answer. And the answer is Ruth. Ruth the Moabitess. David is in the bloodline of Ruth the Moabitess. And you know the story. Ruth went back to the Holy Land with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Even though Naomi encouraged her not to go, stay back. If you go, it's going to be a rough life for you. You're going to be hated. The people are going to hate, they hate Moabites. You'll be hated. You won't be able to find a husband. I'm too old to have a son again. And even if I could, you wouldn't wait that long. You're going to be single the rest of your life. You're going to be hated. It's going to be a rough life. Turn back like your sister did, sister-in-law, Orpha, Ruth. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, there will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so and more, thought but death part me and thee. That was the words of Ruth. And they were spoken out in the boonies to Naomi. Nobody was around to hear them. But the Holy Spirit preserved these wonderful words even thousands of years later. And we know them. And so David's tree, his family tree, he could trace back to Moab. And it would seem certainly that the king of Moab knew this. And this would be the natural thing for David then to shield his father and mother from Saul in the land of Moab. So what is happening right now is that Saul has only one objective in his life. And that objective is, I'm going to kill David. And he was head of the whole army of Israel. And these guys followed him. And they want to kill David. And these soldiers were the ones that were standing there when the giant Goliath came out for 40 days and 40 nights and issued a challenge, and they were all scared half to death. And their king, who was their captain, was scared half to death. And they're following him. And they saw David go out with a smooth stone, a pebble, and a sling, and kill Goliath. They saw that. And I suppose at the time they were thankful for it, but they didn't have the guts to try it. Neither did Saul. And now they're joining Saul to hunt David down and kill him. even though during the meantime, David had killed thousands and thousands of Philistines when he went out with the army of Saul, and together they were fighting. And the women were singing the song, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And they heard that. And Saul was jealous, and they followed him. It's easy to see the antitype here, isn't it? And we can go further. This is your story and mine. And you're looking at David in that cave now, and you kind of wonder, looking at the context of everything, realizing that David is no super saint. There are no super saints. And David was a human being, had his failings, just like you and I do. And you wonder if during the passage of time, there might have been a subtle change in David's outlook. And what I mean is when he went out to meet Goliath, there were a few things that he remembered. One of the things he remembered was when he was watching the flock one night, a lion came out, grabbed a lamb, and made off with it. And David followed the lion, grabbed him by the beard, killed him, and saved the lamb. Another time a bear did the same thing and learned the same lesson. David killed the bear and saved the sheep. And his conclusion was, the same Lord God that gave me the victory over the lion and the bear is going to give me the victory over the giant. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. That was then. This is now. And during the interviewing time, David would go out with the army of Israel and kill thousands of Philistines. He was a mighty warrior. It wasn't just with a slingshot. He killed thousands of Philistines. David was very powerful. Everybody knew him. They sang songs to him. And is it possible now that David had the sword that he used to cut Goliath's head off, is it possible that David is trusting just too much in his own ability to kill the enemy? Is that possible? And if it is, then the Holy Spirit is going to have to bring David back to his senses. And he's going to have to show, you know, you've got enemies that are more powerful than you are. And you can't handle them. And they're going to kill you. That's the name of their game. That's what they're living for. So he puts David in a cave of Adullam, which must have been a terrible experience. But there were some with him. And that cave turned out to be the greatest blessing that David had, because it shielded him from his enemy, and more importantly, it brought him back to God. And I believe this is your story and mine. It's easy to remember God in our thoughts, and a lot of times, especially if we're in trouble, and then the trouble goes away and everything seems to prosper. We all the elect children of God have times in their lives when the earth is a pretty nice place to live. Everything seems to be going well. And, you know, they're happily married, got to happily have children, good job, everything's going well. But then all of a sudden it can change. We have to remember when things are going well, it's not wrong. if we remember who is sending these things, and sometimes it's awful easy to forget. And then the Holy Spirit puts us in a situation that, oh, no, we didn't want to go here. We didn't want this to happen. But if it brings us back to God, no matter what we suffer, it's well worth it. This is your story and mine.